Wanted to say one word of, always welcome to our catechumens and candidates who we will be going, will be doing the rite of sending after the homily to send them to the rite of election with the bishop. So just an FYI that's coming up, and it's a beautiful opportunity to encourage and support them. In that gospel today, you know, the devil can quote scripture to suit himself. And Jesus is, fighting him by quoting scripture. And so at that third temptation, the devil decides to quote scripture himself, right? And he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself off this temple because, quote, he'll command his angels concerning you to guard you. With their hands, they'll support you lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, I don't know if you heard this in the responsorial psalm that was beautifully sung just a moment ago, but the next verse, right, that's when the devil stops quoting. The next verse says, you shall tread upon the dragon and the viper, and the serpent, trample down the lion and the dragon. He forgot about that part of it. That's what we're called to do in the power of Jesus, to trample on the head of the dragon, on the serpent, on the devil. One of the primary purposes for this time of Lent is to prepare for our renewing our baptismal commitment at Easter, which is so important because baptism and living it out is our participation in the redemption of Jesus. You know, that's where, on the cross there, is where he trampled on the dragon. And our baptism enables us to do the same thing. The first reading from the book of Deuteronomy gives us a quick summary of God's redemption in the Old Testament to the Israelites. How the patriarchs wandered from their home to a new land. How famine led them to Egypt, where they were enslaved. How they cried out to God who heard them and brought them up out of slavery through the Red Sea, that's baptismal imagery, right? And into the wilderness, where they were tested for 40 years. Kind of like Jesus today, after his baptism in the River Jordan, is tested for 40 days in the wilderness. Though Jesus successfully resists, the Israelites didn't do so well out in the wilderness. And then how they entered into the promised land. And now, today in that reading, we're bringing God their first fruits. After Jesus overcame the devil on the cross, he rose to the heavenly promised land as the first fruits of resurrection. And he works unceasingly to bring us to follow him, that we can be the next fruits. It's a great little summary there of salvation history in the Old Testament. In the Gospel of Luke, we hear the temptations. And I think it's important to note that God never tempts us to evil. He does test us, though not beyond our strength. And sometimes, as Jesus experienced in the gospel today, he tests us by allowing the devil to tempt us. He tests us. God tests us. God never tempts us to evil, but he does test us to make us stronger. So Jesus is tempted by the devil. The Greek word for devil is diabolos, meaning literally slanderer, liar. It's made up of two Greek words, dia and bolos, which mean throwing apart. The devil is one who lies by dividing, by throwing apart things that should be together. In the first temptation, the devil tries to throw apart, to pit Jesus' mission of service to others against caring for himself. You know, he's hungry. 40 days of fasting, he's hungry. Turn these stones into bread. Serve yourself. Use your power to help yourself. In the second temptation, the devil tries to pit Jesus' mission of bringing about the kingdom of God against giving him all the kingdoms of the world. What lies behind renouncing the heavenly one for the earthly one is renouncing worship of God for worship of the devil. In the third temptation, the devil tries to drive a wedge into Jesus' trust of the Father. Will he really take care of you? Jump off the temple and see if the Father is really true to his word. He'll command his angels to guard you, lest your foot dash against a stone. Will he really catch you? The devil, the slanderer, is always trying to sow a doubt regarding the Father's care for us. Is he a father or a tyrant? Will he be there for me or abandon me? Will he protect me or forget me? We can all struggle with those same kind of questions and doubts, right? How deep does our trust of the Father go? How divided are our hearts? It's interesting that the opposite of the word diabolos is the word symbolos. The opposite of the diabolic, which divides and throws apart, is the symbolic, which unites and brings together. You know, we can kind of, in today's world, we can kind of come to think of things as, oh, that's just a symbol. But regarding church realities, a symbol is so much more. Jesus is the perfect symbol as the one who perfectly unites humanity and divinity in himself. The seven sacraments are mighty symbols that unite and bring together divine grace and sacramental signs. The devil, the diabolic, tries to divide reality by saying that, you know, that baptismal water, it's just water. It can't really communicate grace. Those words of absolution in the confessional, they're just words. They can't really affect forgiveness. That covenant of marriage doesn't really create a supernatural bond between husband and wife. So what's the point of waiting till marriage? That consecrated bread and wine of the Eucharist, it's really just bread and wine. So what's the necessity of communion? I think today's gospel opens our eyes to the attacks of that great diabolical divider, the devil. But it also provides a path for us to resist him. We resist him by following, first and most importantly, the example of Jesus and staying close to the scriptures where we can be sure of truth and not slander. We can also resist him by staying close to the sacraments, the divine symbols of God, which unite our humanity with the powerful graces of the Holy Spirit. That second reading from Paul's letter to the Romans gives another example of the importance of symbolic power to unite and hold together. Paul says that we're justified by faith in the heart and we're saved by confession on the lips. So we can't just believe in the quiet of our hearts and then never say anything, never do anything. We can't even, or worse, say one thing and do another. We need both faith and living out our faith, faith and works. And there are lots of ways that we can live out our faith. We have a Newman team helping the Afghan refugees. We have the soup kitchen, loaves and fishes. We have the food bank this Tuesday evening. We have the small faith groups on stewardship throughout this season of Lent. We can reach out to a friend whom we haven't communicated with for a while. We can mention the importance of our faith to others at work or at school. We can do something to make the world we live in a little less secular, a little less divided. this Lent, let's avoid the divisions of that diabolic devil. Let's hold fast to the communion of the symbolic Lord. Let's both acknowledge our faith in the heart and confess it in our lives. So here's the homework for the week. Resolve to frequent the sacrament of reconciliation more frequently starting this Lent. Fight the devil and his temptations with the sacraments and their graces. The devil will hate that.